Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Greg Pickle here. It's Pitt Week, but we have a lot to unpack from Appalachian State. Obviously, 45-38, Penn State wins in overtime. I think at some points in that game, Greg, improbable was a good way to put it, but they end up pulling it out. There's a lot to unpack there. I want to start in just a moment with your good, bad, and ugly. I know you wrote a piece about that. I'm just curious what you saw that fell into those categories in the games. We'll also talk to Tyler Donahue from Lions 247 a little bit later, and we'll finish up with Ask Greg, as we usually do here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. As always, the segment is sponsored by GoPSURV.com. Special announcement from those guys. They're offering a full range of RV setups ready for a full weekend of great tailgating, but now available for each and every home game, there will be the special Keystone Sports RV. It doesn't contain any of us, but it contains a lot of the stuff that you hear us talking about. 409 barbecue sauces, some tailgate wine, Labatt Blue, beer, even a catered barbecue meal from the 409 Tailgate Club. Guys, you can't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com. Reserve your Keystone Sports RV today. Remember, one more time, GoPSURV.com. Really good time, I hear, had by all up there. It was an open house weekend for the Appalachian State game. If you heard us talking about 50% off RVs for that weekend, you kind of missed the boat, but there's still a lot of good stuff going on up there. So let's talk App State, Greg. 45-38. Let's go one category at a time. Just your take on the good from that game.
They won. I think that's probably the biggest and
the number one good thing.
Yeah, sure. I mean, James Franklin talks a lot, Dustin, about how not all wins are created equal, and this one certainly is a good example of that. So Penn State, obviously, I was pretty bold last week. I thought they would blow out App State. I did not see this being a game. I did not see Zach Thomas being an NFL caliber quarterback, which he maybe isn't, but was on Saturday in a close defeat. And, you know, I think for Penn State, you put a lot of young and new guys out there and sort of just hope for the best. I mean, I think you assume that these guys are all very good, and so that will lead to points or this or that or the other thing. But there's no guarantee until you actually put them out there on the field. Penn State found that out on Saturday, but they did enough to win in the end. There's still nobody at, you know, barely avoiding a sack and turning it into a touchdown than Trace McSorley. I don't think there's anybody you'd rather have late in the game than him. KJ Hamler, we've heard about him all summer long. He certainly proved to be the real deal, not only with the touchdown catch, but also the punt return. It was funny because you could see him for most of the game getting really agitated that he couldn't bring the ball out. He finally just said, "I'm not doing this anymore," brings it out, ends up setting up a Penn State score.
Talk about one of those moments in the game that was so important. And really, I feel like maybe the three most important moments for Penn State in the game were KJ Hamler moments. There's obviously the Brandon Polk fourth down catch, but three big plays by him. And, I think whatever you're looking for in a player, like we've seen a lot of players in the past who show physically that they can do this kind of thing, but the ability to rise to the occasion multiple times, that really stood out to me in the game. He didn't have, especially early on, I can't remember when his first catch came, but it wasn't a big play. He wasn't looked at a lot, and you're just waiting for it, and then he delivers.
Isn't that the great thing about Penn State's offense, though, is that you don't need to be looked at. You can go the whole game without being targeted and still end up being the guy that wins the game. So I think that says a lot about Penn State's offense. It says a lot about Hamler, too, and I think you're going to see his usage and also their trust in him just continue to grow.
Well, let me touch on that for a moment, because I think on both sides of the ball, and obviously when you've got as much youth and when you've got as many changes as you're making offensively, the whole foundation of what you do is gone. I think I spent a good chunk of the offseason underplaying how much that was going to mean. And I think that they have everybody's got ability, but it had a real feel, Greg, both in terms of the running game and the passing game, where this was everything was in evaluation mode. Let's throw everything out there. It looked like it was a plan on defense too, and let's see what sticks. And I think you're going to start to see maybe the pecking order start to evolve, start to take shape a little bit. I don't know if they're close yet or not. Maybe you start to see a little bit more clarity against Pitt.
Yeah, I mean, I think that at tight end specifically, you know, you're going to continue to see Dalton and Holland get time. Pat Freiermuth took a snap, so. I mean, I think you're going to continue to see a rotation there. I don't think either of those guys separate themselves or himself as the man, but I do think that, you know, they looked a little bit better in the blocking game than Mike Gesicki ever did over 4 years, so that's a positive. But, you know, right tackle, I think the one concern I have with right tackle, Dustin, is you can say that the offense was much better in the second half, and that's when Will Fries was the guy in the second half. But he has not shown over the course of his career the kind of consistency needed to win the job. So it's what he's going to have to do moving forward. Otherwise, the platoon situation will continue there.
Yeah, I'm curious how that's going to unfold over time. To circle back to the good, bad, ugly thing, I think we touched on the good. What really jumped off the page to you as the bad in this game, or multiple items?
Right. I mean, I'll start with the offense, and this particularly the line in the first half. I mean, it just looked like a unit that wasn't comfortable. And this goes back to the problem of, you can say you want to play six guys, but you know, you never get cohesion, and you never get five guys on the field working together in tandem over and over and over again, because you're always swapping your right tackle. So I think that was a bit of a problem. I just think Penn State's offense looked timid in the first half. I don't know if it was play calling or new guys or what, but for a group that seemed really ready to go out and hit somebody else, in their interviews during the week, they sure didn't look it in the first half. It looked better in the second half. And then, I don't know. I mean, it's a coin flip to say whether you're more concerned about the front seven or the secondary on defense, because it was ugly more often than not. Kevin Gibbons' suspension for violation of team rules is a bummer, and it's not good. I think there's more issues with the depth at end than James Franklin wants to believe, based on the fact that he continues to say he thinks it's a strength of the team. I didn't see a strength out there on Saturday. And then the secondary was just, I mean, I was curious where John Reed was in the second half. He was sort of absent, and, you know, Amani makes the play at the end of the game, but I thought Tariq Castro-Fields was their best corner on Saturday. And the safeties, you're going to continue to see Garrett Taylor and Lamont Wade rotate, I think, because I don't know if one of those guys really jumped up and grabbed the role of being the guy that plays 3 snaps to 1, 4 snaps to 1, or so on and so forth.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Mentioned earlier in the show about GoPSURV.com, the lot they have, that which is awesome for tailgating. Was a really great scene up there for Appalachian State. I'm sure it will be going forward for the next home game as well. Labatt Blue was there giving away, I guess, the biggest free samples you've ever seen in your life. And I think, again, you probably missed the boat on that one, but I think you'll get an opportunity to check them out at some point again, especially if you go to GoPSURV.com and check out their line of RVs, which, again, pretty awesome stuff, including the Keystone Sports RV. Greg, the run game here, did you come away feeling like this was going to be foundational? Because that was a part of the game that most consistently worked from quarter one all the way into the overtime period. They looked like they had a pretty preset rotation. They had a preset plan for who was going to play and what series they were going to play. And so Miles Sanders ends up disappearing for a little while in favor of Mark Allen and Ricky Slade.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
But at the end there, I mean, what did he touch the ball? 22 times, 19 carries. Really looked good, I thought. And I think if you were hanging a lot of hope on, you know, you're losing Mike Gesicki, you're losing Deshaun Hamilton, if you're hanging a lot of hope on Miles Sanders in this run game being able to maybe pick up the slack, I think you came out of that getting confirmation.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, yeah, the whole absent Sanders thing at one point there was just bizarre, especially when you go for it on fourth down, you call a timeout to, you know, to get things in order, and then you don't put him on the field for a fourth and short, and you don't get it. I mean, I didn't understand that at all, but if the idea was to have him fresh for late in the game, well, it worked. So, I mean, I guess it's six in one hand, half dozen in the other. There was a lot of consternation I've seen about Ricky Ronnie's play calling and this, that, and the other thing. Somebody already related him to John Donovan. I don't think that's fair just yet, but... you know, I would say it was an okay game for him. It wasn't great, but when he dialed up the run play and it was blocked appropriately, they looked good. I don't think that, you know, a lot of the stuff that happened on Saturday was necessarily his fault. Trace was inaccurate at times. I was really unimpressed with Juwan Johnson. But as then talking about the run game specifically, you know, I think Penn State showed not only that it's foundational, but also that Ricky Slade's a weapon, and they said he was going to be, and he is. I think most assumed that a five-star would come in and be able to make a splash play, but to run the way he did for that 27-yard touchdown, Dustin, there was no doubt about it as soon as he got up the middle, and I think you're going to see more and more of him. And you know what? With Mark Allen, you can say that this, that, or the other thing, but he's a veteran back that can actually pass block. I think the other two struggle in that area a bit, so it's going to earn him some reps as well.
Yeah, I think having Mark Allen in on short yardage plays was one area where, you know, you're scratching your head. But I felt like they were sticking with their rotations. You know, I noticed it at, you know, linebacker and stuff like that, where they're cycling guys in, and it didn't, the game situation didn't really seem to matter. I think that they were just sticking with their rotations, and it's like whoever's out there is out there. And, you know, for Mark Allen, I'm one who is always kind of questioning, because I think he got two extraordinary backs in Miles Sanders and Ricky Slade. I guess Mark Allen has done enough to get his time.
Yeah, you know, again, I just think that he can, you know, Jawan Sider was saying the other day, and he's right, that pass blocking is not so much a ability thing as it is a will to do it, and an ability, you know, and he has shown that he can go in there and he will stick his nose in guys' chest and keep Trace McSorley upright. It's not to say the other two can't do that, but I think Mark Allen's their best pass protector, so that's going to get him some reps simply because of the fact he can do it. It's not that the other two can't, but they have some work to do.
Let me touch on this before we move on. We're going to keep talking about this for another segment here, but special teams, just right off the bat, that 100-yard kickoff return, and that's another area where things have to come together, because they're throwing a lot of talent on those special teams now. And you have all those four stars and all those five stars, and this is a group that should get better, but that was just a ugly moment, and it wasn't the only one from the special teams group.
Yeah, it was hard to watch in ways. Not the greatest debut for special teams coordinator Phil Galliano. I think you make a good point, though, Dustin, that they are throwing a lot of talent at it, but it's not necessarily talent that's played special teams, and it's not necessarily experienced talent. So, you know, I go back and watch that. I'm sure, you know, that the coaching staff can find somebody that's at fault. I can't tell. I'm not smart enough. But you go back and watch it, and Aaron Monroe and John Patricia, two veterans, were the guys that had a chance at him, and instead, you know, they were split, and he was gone. So, not good. And then, you know, James Franklin says after the game that we told the guys not to go backwards on the onside kick, to be watching for it, and they did. I just don't – it doesn't – everyone on earth knew that was probably coming, except for apparently the four guys at the front of the line who went backwards, and then App State got it. So they got a lot of work to do on special teams. The good news, though, Jake Pinninger looked great.
Yeah, I mean, the one issue that you were circling, he just – and I know that they're PATs and a short field goal, but he just looked like he belonged out there, and I think that was the number one thing that you can find. All right, we're going to keep talking about Penn State, Appalachian State. Going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.